haven't chickened out on doing Genesis yet, but I'm close. So why is the first letter of the Bible not an Aleph? Anybody ever wondered that? And there's really no answer, but there is some speculation from the rabbis. Because it's a Bereshit, Bore. The first two words of the Bible both start with the second letter of the alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph is first, Bet is second, or Bet. And then Gimel is third, and Dalet, Hav, Ev, Vav, Zion, Het, Ted, Yod, Kov, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Zion. You all need to write that out before you leave today. It is interesting, though, that the Bible would not start with the first letter. Instead, it starts with the second letter. And it may be that where is the first Aleph in the Bible? The third word. Bereshit, Bore, Elohim. Elohim, the name of God, the first name of God in the Bible, does start with the Aleph. So maybe God is just saying, in the beginning, God created. Really, in the beginning, there was God before beginning. So see, there is God, and then there was in the beginning. The Bereshit in the beginning starts with the second letter because the Aleph is before the beginning. As you know, God would be before the beginning. That's just an idea. Also, the rabbis say that God was reserving the Aleph for a special event. And they say that this special event goes clear to the Ten Commandments on Sinai, where what is the first letter of the Ten Commandments? The first word of the Ten Commandments is Anoki, which is I am. And it starts with an Aleph. So the Ten Commandments does start with the first letter of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. And it's Anoki, which is I am. And in Judaism, the first commandment is shorter than in Christianity's first commandment. We say, I'm the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. That's number one. For us. In Judaism, I am the Lord your God, stop, is the first commandment. And everything else falls under that. Hello, I am the Lord, and I am the Lord your God, and that is the end of it, really, essentially, already. There's really nothing else to talk about, but of course he does go on. But he wouldn't need to. Anoki. It's the longer version of Ani and Haya. But anyway, that's a couple ideas on the higher purpose of the Aleph that the rabbis will talk to you about, which brought you out of Egypt and is the rest of that sentence. So the creation was spectacular, but the focus is on actually something else. The focus of creation is not on the physical creation. The physical creation of 5 days is not the goal. It is not the pinnacle. It is not the conclusion. The really big goal of the first week, the creation week, is the sixth day when God created man. And we'll talk about that as we go along here. But man is the focus of creation, and it, as much as spectacular as all the stars and the earth and the plants and the animals, it is really the creation of man that brings it to its conclusion. Now, another thing taught first day, and this is still the context that we're in on this day, Hayom is today, is that God separates. His first day's work. What happens as soon as there is creation and God is working? The first thing that we have is a separation, a division. He separated the light from the darkness. Now, as I said with the Ten Commandments, you could stop right there. As in the first day, you could stop here. There is darkness and there is light, and God does not allow them to be mixed. We can stop our Bible there if you like. We could still preach until it comes. Separate light from darkness. And it's considered work by God on the first day. This whole book then becomes a matter of separation from creation to the kingdom and today. Everything is about separation. So there is the light and there is the darkness. And this is not, darkness here probably is not the absence of light, but more of a physical thing. Kind of like a black hole in outer space. It's so dense and heavy that light can't even escape it. But anyway, we have darkness. Even the Havdalah service, which a lot of you never been in a Havdalah service, but that's the end of Shabbat, when you say goodbye to Shabbat and go back to work on Saturday night. But that the word Havdalah comes from the word Badol, which is to separate. As we know, Shabbat was separated from the rest of the week because God is not a God of mixture. So he is a God of distinction, and you got to love this. Separation, distinction. What is it called? Distinguishing between the holy and the profane. You've all heard that. You must distinguish between holy and profane. As I mentioned, the mocking of God is the profane that this country has entered into. They are not ashamed of sin. Everybody sins, and there's something about that that God has taken care of. But when you're not ashamed of sin, this is then a mocking of the holiness of God. When a guy sins, like when I sin so much, I say, dang it, I'm so bad. That's not mocking God. If I sin and go, so what of it, God? I'm proud of it and I'm going to do it in your face. That is much, much worse. And this is where our country has come to. But I'll get off of that. Anyway, Hashem separates the physical creation and also the fourth dimension. Because God creates time in Bereshit 1:1. God says, good, in the 6 days, but only in the seventh day, as he set it apart, does he bless. He does not bless 1 through 6, he only blesses Sheva. The number 7 is Sheva, which is how you say Shabbat. It's the same word, just the bet is a bet. So here in Genesis 1:1, you have a foreshadowing of God choosing Israel. How do I get to that? Because when God chose Israel and brought them out of the desert and brought them to Sinai and entered into the covenant with them there, what was the sign of that covenant? Not the sign of the Brit Avraham, but the sign of Brit Moshe. The sign of the Moses covenant is Shabbat. And when Israel did not work on the seventh day, it made them separate from every other nation on earth. Because no one had ever heard of having a special day not to work before. It only shows up in creation. And so even in the week, we see a separation. So God is this God of separation. Oh Lord. And you know that mixture then is the opposite of separation, and mixture is the opposite of kadosh, holy. Kadosh means unmixed, unique, in a category of its own. This is why we say God is holy, is because there's nothing to compare him to. He is all alone, unmixed with anything in his own category. So he made a covenant with Israel and set Israel apart by the seventh day. You know the famous saying, it's not so much that Israel keeps Shabbat, but the Shabbat has kept Israel. You've all heard that. How was Israel kept separate from the nations for the 1,946 and a half years since they were dispersed in AD 70? How were they really kept separate from the nations and kept alive as a people is Shabbat. Everywhere they went and every culture they got spread into, there was some Sunday people And then there was those Saturday people. Shabbat Shalom. But we also know the real Shabbat is from the book of Hebrews, and with Yeshua's teaching is the Shabbat rest of Messiah Yeshua also. There is a Shabbat rest that remains for us to enter into, and this is not the seventh day Shabbat, but the person of Messiah, which is really the fulfillment of Shabbat. There is a rest that is known in Yeshua that no one else has experienced. A peace and a rest, unknown to the unbeliever. I don't know how they do it. Now, the redemption of Zion will bring that 1,000-year Shabbat for the seventh day of creation, the seventh 1,000-year period, and it'll be a 1,000-year Shabbat that we will be doing a lot, but it will not be work. It'll be praise and worship and partying and all of these kinds of things, mostly dancing, yes. We are quite ahead of our time. And then after that, there'll be an eternal Shabbat, which we don't know anything about because God can't communicate it really to us because we're not in a position to understand the creation and the awesomeness of who we're talking about. So we get two chapters at the end of our Bible about the eternal order, and it's mysterious as anything in the whole book. Just believe me, it'll be over the top, and you like over the top. And of course, my hope is that it's outside of the fourth dimension. So as important Shabbat is, it is made for man. In other words, man is more glorious than Shabbat. And why is man more glorious than Shabbat? Because man is created in Tselem, Elohim, God's image. And in this creation, we have, right away, another mysterious thing revealed, which will be, let us make man in our image. So early in the Word, we have the mystery birth that is still confounding scholars, including Marty, to this day. One God, and it's us, and our. One in plurality, echad, the plural form of the number one. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely over the top. You love it. Even if it makes you rub a dent in your forehead, you love it. As it is so often with God, it's up here. In the New Testament version of In the Beginning, the mystery is explained. We do have the advantage over our Jewish friends in this way. We do have the Brit Hadashah, which has the second account of creation in it, in Yochanan. Yochanan Yakid 1. The mystery is explained there, but it remains unexplainable. God explains it, and it remains unexplainable. Isn't that like Hashem? This is why we know he's Jewish. The Word became flesh. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Totally explains everything. Explains, but totally unexplainable. Remains a the Word, the Ruach, the Messiah. It is interesting, isn't it? The only place in the whole Tanakh where the verb attached to Elohim, make, Elohim, let us make, it's the only place in the whole Tanakh is in Genesis here where it is the word make is in plural. Let us make man is plural. And this is the only place that occurs in the Bible. So with the rest of the creation, God said with a verb, let it be, but it is singular. But with man, it is let us make man in our image, and this grammar is only here. So what? So big deal, what about that? It's only here to show the reader that the creation of man is the focus of creation. It is the goal, the pinnacle of Genesis. And why? Because man was created to be partnered with the Creator Himself. What is that? It's the love thing. As you've heard me teach, it's not good for man to be alone. In Genesis, God says it's lo tov, no good for man to be alone. And what he actually was saying is it's no good for God to be alone. As he was creating Eve for Adam, he was creating the first family. He was also creating the family that out of which would come God's wife, the bride. Amen. So we can, I'm just kind of bouncing around here. I have several sets of notes. So now let's switch back to where we were last week with a little bit of science, maybe. And I'll just make a couple comments here with the time we have left. The first five verses of Genesis are loaded. You didn't know that, did you? Remember last week we got the small e, the value of small e with the math? The creation took 6 days, but was there a gap? I got to mention this because it's the theology of the issue. Is there a gap between Genesis 1, 1, 1, 2? Most of you heard about the gap theory, and it's argued all the time. Is there a gap between verse 1 and verse 2? And some people teach that there is. I remember on Zola Levitt's channel when he was still with us that they were teaching gap. And I didn't like it because I wasn't gap, but I would just at least present this to you and you can make up your own mind. And it will also be a mystery. And you know what's cool about mysteries? This gives us questions to ask Messiah when he comes. And this is what the rabbis do with their mysteries. They say, Messiah will tell us when he comes. What about this and what about this? Messiah will tell us when he comes. Just go for the stuff you can understand. What about the origin of HaSatan? When was he created? And what is this thing called light? We're going to have some fun in the science part of these lessons, if I don't chicken out, about light. And I love this. 14 words into the Bible, and what do you see? Since you have light, you can see. Light had to come first so you could read. 14 words, and we have Ruach. God couldn't wait very long. The Spirit. Amen. And I love the number 14 anyway. Remember, there's 14 generations between here and here and here and here and here and here in the Gospels, in the genealogies. What's 14 represent in Judaism? The numbers. Dalet, Vav, Dalet. The number of David, father of Messiah. The Spirit of Elohim is the Ruach, and that's just 14 letters in. I'll just throw that 14 out for fun. If you were a Kabbalist, you'd talk on it. At that same, and that same Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Now let me say, this same Spirit of God that was on the water in creation, like a dove, brooding or hovering or whatever, however you want to say it. And the dove does represent the Spirit, remember? So it's like that because, remember, a dove can't fly up to a branch and land on it. It has to stop and sit. And so it's a perfect picture of the Holy Spirit. The dove is a perfect picture that God has given us, a metaphor. But anyway, I was going to say, the Spirit that was over the waters in the dark, right, is the same Spirit that's here now. Same person. Yeshua is the Holy Spirit. Is Hashem. And so when we had our quiet time here and you could feel like quietly Messiah was walking about, ministering, speaking, revealing, healing, that's the same exact thing in creation that is over the waters of darkness there. All right, so we can just stop there and we can. And you know how I teach about time, but it's connected to the light. So the first quote of God, What's the first quote of God in the Bible? He says, light. Now, the dove and the spirit kind of go together, and the spirit is Yeshua. What did Yeshua say the light was? He says, I am the light. So the first thing God says is Messiah. And Messiah says, I am the light. So you cannot separate these things. And the light determines time. And so in this light was also time. And we started having a day, because now we have time. So now you have to have hours and a day and Erev and Boker, the first day. And in all these days of creation, it always says the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. Only in the first day does it say, and was day one. Because on day one, Messiah, as the light, is there. So it is a special day, also separate from the rest of them, because we have light. So this light thing, and I got to stop here, having too much fun. Or in Hebrew, O-R, O-R-E is how you say light. Menorah is a lampstand, right? Not a candlestick. Forget that. Cross that out. There was no candles in the temple, because the menorah burned oil, which represents the ruach. Oil and ruach are the same. We have ruach and the light. We're still talking about the golden lampstand, which is Messiah, Mashiach. I don't know how far we can get into this book at this rate. The millennium may be over. We get chapter 4. But if we could handle the light, we could handle the time. And you got to love all of our smart atheistic scientists that know everything. Mr. Hawkins, what is light? The greatest scientist in the world. Okay, what is light? The first thing God does, first day, first page of your Bible, he makes light. Okay, what is it? No one knows. No one understands. The greatest scientists of the world can't handle day one. And there's more than one day. What are we going to do with them? What can we do? They can talk about quarks, but they can't tell us what light is. Is it a particle stream or is it a wave? When is it manifest as a particle? Only when it's being watched in a laboratory. So I'll stop, but I'll tell you this. Every piece of matter or energy in the universe has the signature of the Creator on it. There is not one particle, no matter how subatomic particle you want to get, that does not have the life of God in it. And this is being discovered and proven in these last days, just to help our atheistic scientists along a little bit. So science does not disprove the Bible. Science always proves the Bible to be true. Amen. Yavarekaka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vihunaka. Yisau Adonai Panavaleka. Voyoseim Laka Shalom B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sarha Shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the Messiah, amen and amen. Shabbat shalom.